Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. Today we're going to be discussing the question, I struggle with same-sex attraction, and I hear all the time about the importance of meaningful relationships in the church. But they tend to be a temptation for me. What's the best course for me?
Okay. So this is something that people are going to be very hesitant to talk about because it seems like such a taboo thing that nobody would want to bring it out. So it's an important question. Hopefully it'll bring comfort to anybody who is struggling with this. I will say that I really believe that at Providence Bible Fellowship, somebody struggling with same-sex attraction could definitely find brothers and sisters willing to pour themselves out to help that person. So if you're struggling this way, hopefully you'll find some comfort as we talk about this, because the church is God's gift to the church to help the church be the church, and we all need help with different things that we struggle with. And this is just another thing that some people struggle with, and we need help with it. And so, yeah, let's talk about this.
Right. So let's start by saying there are no exceptions to the truth that we need meaningful relationships in our lives.
Exactly. God's plan for spiritual growth includes serving other saints and being served by them. So we have many times at Providence gone over to Ephesians 4, 7, and following, and talked about how Jesus has gifted everyone in his body uniquely with gifts and abilities that everyone else needs. So we've all been gifted, and we're all being equipped by the equippers of the church. So in Ephesians 4:11, God says that he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So we've all got gifts. We're all being equipped to use those gifts. All of this teaches us that none of us can do the Christian life alone. We all need each other. So there is no plan B for Christian growth. We need the church. We need relationships.
Is it possible, though, to enjoy the benefits of this of that service without having some closer relationships? Or can we benefit from the church in a more corporate way?
Okay, so is it possible to derive those benefits of Ephesians 4 at kind of at arm's length? This may sound unreasonable, but no, it is not possible. The New Testament is filled with what we call one another commands that give shape to the Lord's John 13 command that we love one another. So right now on Sunday mornings, we're studying John 13 through 17, and over we're seeing this command to love one another. The one another commands in the New Testament tell us how specifically to love one another. And one of those commands is in James 5:16, which reads, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. So there's accountability that all of us need that's not going to be appropriate to take care of in large groups. So we need close relationships in order to do that. Similarly, we're told in 2 Timothy 2:22, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So there simply is not enough meaningful close interaction in a corporate setting to do that effectively, to kill sin, to pursue righteousness. We need close brothers and sisters who are walking beside us through those things. So there are definitely ways that we benefit from the gifts of others serving us in larger groups, but we must have closer friendships where we're being helped to deal with sin and pursue the Lord. And that's especially crucial with what we could call life-enslaving sins. And I would put same-sex attraction in that category. Life-enslaving sin, that would be one of them. I would call a pornography addiction, a life enslaving sin, any kind of substance abuse, a life enslaving sin. You simply cannot face those kinds of things without close, meaningful relationships. So there really needs to be somebody or several somebodies who are close enough to us who can help us with our sin issues. And that kind of thing can't be done in an arm's length corporate setting. So that takes us back to the original question. For some, those relationships, those close relationships, are very tempting in themselves because we advocate that these relationships are same-sex relationships. These close relationships in the church are men sharpening men and women sharpening men. So if somebody struggles with same-sex attraction, those relationships can in themselves be tempting. What should a person do?
Well, that person should talk to a couple of trusted older saints or a couple of pastors.
Right. And what we mean by that is don't talk to them one at a time, but talk to those people together. So one way to try to avoid the temptation that comes from these relationships is never to be with just one person. So make these older saints or these pastors aware of your situation. And that's going to be maybe really uncomfortable if they aren't already aware of it. But just understand that that's the first step toward really getting a foothold of dealing with this sin. We've got to have these relationships. Somebody has to be told at some point, and a couple of older saints or a couple of pastors, they're going to want to help you, and I can guarantee that will be the case at Providence. So through those pastors or older saints, you can ask for counsel on this particular issue. You can also get longer-term counsel on dealing with same-sex attraction. So those pastors, those older saints, they can come alongside you kind of long-term to help you with that. They can also help you find other people to walk alongside you and help you with this. So ask those pastors or older saints to help you locate two or three people of your same gender with whom you can meet regularly to obey these one another commands. And when I use the term gender today on this podcast and forevermore, I'm using the term biblically. That is that gender always coincides with your anatomical makeup. So if you're a man, ask to meet with two or three men. If you're a woman, ask to meet with two or three women. So those saints or pastors will likely know just the right people in the congregation to call on to help you. And hopefully those will all be mature believers, and it would also be wise for these people to be older, perhaps even by a generation, just because they're going to have that extra wisdom. And it's likely that if they are a good deal older than you, then that attraction or the difficulty with temptation will be decreased too.
Yeah. So what else should they do? They should meet regularly with mature older believers in groups of two or three.
Right. So we also want to be clear. All of these people that you're meeting with need to know about your specific struggle, so that they cannot help if they're kept in the dark. You can't be vague about what you're struggling with. None of us can keep the people that we have a close relationship with in the dark about what we struggle with and hope to have any kind of meaningful accountability or help with those things. We have to be open with each other. But meeting with these two or three people is going to provide accountability in a couple of ways. It provides the accountability that everyone needs to deal with sin and pursue righteousness. It fills the void that can only be filled by personal, close relationships with other believers. But because you're meeting with multiple people, it also helps deal with the temptation of attraction with the person that you're meeting with. So there will be no one-on-one time for you to bond with just one person. So there's kind of a built-in accountability to keep you from becoming attracted to or forming an inordinate bond with one person. It'd also be wise for this group to regularly ask the uncomfortable but loving question, how are you doing regarding temptation within this group? And so if you are struggling with attraction to someone in the group, the group can discuss that, look for a biblical solution depending on the particular circumstances. But this group shouldn't be only about helping you. And that may be a temptation, not only for you, but also for the other people in the group. This is going to be, oh, this is all about helping person A who struggles with same-sex attraction. That actually isn't a healthy thing, because you need to be exercising your gift in those people's lives too. So it should Amen. Be a group in which all the members are seeking help with the Christian life, stirring one another up to love and good works. And it just happens that one person in that group, their particular struggle is same-sex attraction. It's not that this is a special group that's dedicated to helping one person with one particular problem. No, this is just a normal accountability group. And it just so happens that one person struggles with same-sex attraction. Everybody else in that group is going to have other struggles, and everybody's going to help everybody else.
Right. That's a good point. So meeting with the opposite sex is counterproductive. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, it may seem like the obvious thing to do. Is to just meet with somebody of the opposite sex. If you're tempted sexually when you meet with people of the same gender, well, then just meet with somebody of the opposite gender. I mean, that makes sense on one level, but it's a little short-sighted, because what we want to see long-term is for God to sanctify your desires, to replace same-sex attraction with opposite-sex attraction. Now, that may not happen. Sometimes it doesn't happen, but it's what we want, it's what we pray for, and if that does begin to happen and you're meeting with someone of the opposite sex, well, now you've got temptation coming from a new place. Hmm. So we want to avoid that as well. Also, we have to keep in mind the sanctification of that other person that you're meeting with. So you may struggle with same-sex attraction, but if you're meeting with an opposite-sex person, that person may not struggle with same-sex attraction. So you may inadvertently become a source of temptation to that person, which would be unloving. So it's not appropriate for a man and a woman who are not married to have this kind of relationship. So we just want to do the loving thing all the way around.
Right. Well, a lot of good stuff here, Greg. Until next time.
Okay.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.